Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 15th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we catch up with Brett Ewing, the principal of Resort Hospitality for the Cunningham Group, to discuss how COVID-19 has impacted casino design and construction in real and long-lasting ways. The GGB podcast is brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit FSBtech.com. Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a dab. When it comes to casino design, Brett Ewing has seen it all, from the themed casinos of the 1990s to boutique hotels and ever-changing trends. He has been on top of them all. But when COVID-19 forced the casinos to close, he opened his mind and has assisted clients in rethinking the very operations of their casino resorts. Although more distance between slot machines was already being considered before the virus, Ewing believes that social distancing will allow designers to make the casino experience more fun and efficient, and the entire resort experience will bring a new and brighter palette for operators to consider. He spoke with me at the GGB offices in Las Vegas in July. Maybe somewhere down the road when
somebody plays. Brett Ewing, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you. These are tough times, particularly for architects. I guess some of your business pretty much ground to a halt, just as everybody's did it at the time everything was shut down.
Yes, well, thank you, Roger. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about the current situation we're in. And yes, we have one of those lists of projects put on hold. And
right.
We, of course, touch base with our clients as often as possible without being obnoxious to see if there's any release, and it's going to be a slow process.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. So tell us about the kind of impacts that the situation has had for designers, particularly when you're in the middle of a project. I think that that's really, it kind of changes your whole outlook on the project, I would imagine.
Yeah, and we've got a series of projects that I think we're very fortunate the clients still want to move forward. Some have been downsized or approaching, so we have to shift gears and make some design changes. And the other thing about working this way, as we call it, work from home, is we've had to use technology and figure out how to remotely touch base with our clients, and that's been an interesting process. And as you know, the platforms like Zoom have been very good. We utilize it a lot. One of the other things that we find is a challenges some projects that are under construction. We have the samples that need to go for approvals, the physical samples. So shipping those back and forth, now they're coming to houses and it's taking a little longer, but part of the process. The other thing we struggle with, I think, a lot, and I'm sure everyone does, both on the design side, the vendor side, and the client side, is this isolation, if you will. We have people in our company that handle it very well, and others who don't. And we haven't reopened our office, so we're completely at home, 330 employees, and it's worked masterfully. Our IT department had things set up in advance of this, not knowing this crisis was coming, but it's worked very well. But I'm one of those, I like to be around people.
Yeah.
So when the opportunity is there to get back together, I'm going to welcome that.
Well, that's good. So even before the COVID-19 crisis, there was a trend toward spacing out the casino floor. You know, you didn't see those long rows of slot machines anymore. But obviously now, with every other slot turned off, it's kind of a bad look. You know, I mean, it's not what a casino is supposed to look like. So, what are some of the ways that you're trying to change the layouts to mitigate that look?
So we have one client south of Fresno, the Tachi Yokut tribe. And when they went into their shutdown internally with their operations, they had some extra back-of-house space. And they took out about 20,000 feet of back-of-house, laid down some carpet, kept it very simple. And they spread their machines out, and they did them in clusters.
Right.
And as you just mentioned, short rows. No plexiglass.
Yeah.
And the customers accepted it. The old theory of you've got to have a certain mass of slot machines like 8s and 12s, and he said amazingly, hasn't made a difference. The customer appreciates the fact they could spread it out. The other thing is they lost very few games. By being able to spread it out, they're only down like, I think, 100 slots.
Yeah.
And he said it's been remarkable. And, you know, that was one of those great moves they could make, and
sure.
they just went after it.
Right, and some of the large casinos have that flexibility because they are large, but you know, a lot of your clients are a small tribal casino. So are there other things you're doing for them to kind of spread that density out?
Well, one of the tribes we're working with, and Warner Gaming's the operator, is mm-hmm. up in Spokane. It's Spokane Tribe. They introduced plexiglass, which I'm sorry, I call it the public urinal screen out in public, and I'm not a big fan of it, but it is serving a purpose. They not only did that, they put space between the machines mm-hmm. so they didn't lose the machine and they didn't have to take chairs away or turn slots off
mm-hmm.
because you're right, there's nothing more annoying to me than having dark slot machines.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, these small carousels and clusters, this seems to be the new trend as well, from what I'm seeing. Looks like there's three or four of them, you know, in a circle so that you're not sitting shoulder to shoulder with the next player.
Exactly. And, of course, unless you've got family with you, which is a different situation. But I think that, you know, part of this is we're human.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a psychology to all this that's been studied. And, of course, Las Vegas is at the forefront of spatial relationships and what makes people comfortable from lighting to the space. And it's taken some people some time to get used to, but now I think they're looking for that space.
Right.
So they're much more comfortable and they're not having to look over their shoulder to see if somebody's getting too close to them. So, however, we did learn that, so in that Western example, the customers liked it. Some Midwest clients didn't. It didn't work so well. So it also depends on some markets and demographics of different
mm-hmm.
people.
Okay. So you mentioned plexiglass, and I agree with you. I think it looks hideous just sitting there divided. I mean, it's just an antisocial type of thing almost, you know, as well as the masks, you know, when you can't really read the facial expression from somebody so you can't see their smile or their attitude, you know. So I think both of those are detriments to the casino operation. It was supposed to be a lot of fun and interpersonal, that kind of thing. So how long do you think it's going to be before plexiglass, you know, can be phased out?
You know, that's the big crystal ball. And I did want to say some of my colleagues in the industry are, you know, throwing out ideas mm-hmm. and design, well, you should do this, you should do that. I tell you, we have no idea. In my opinion, no idea.
Yeah,
I learned years ago, follow the operator.
Right.
They know how to do things. So what we're doing is we're listening and observing
mm-hmm.
right now.
Right.
And where we can interject an idea to help a spatial relationship or mm-hmm. how do we get rid of that plexiglass?
Right.
So I'm not sure to answer your question how long it'll be. It's, as we know in Nevada yesterday, Governor Sisolak ordered mandated masks in mm-hmm. all public places, and I think it's a good move. And I wish that he probably would have done that sooner.
Yeah, I think masks almost reduce the need for plexiglass, though. I mean, if the employee and the player are wearing masks, I don't see the need for plexiglass. So maybe it'll be sooner than later. Who knows?
Yeah, and, you know, it's simple science. I keep saying it. You know, transmitting in air, if you're
right.
covered, then you're not as likely to, if you had it, to transmit it to the next
person.
So you're really wearing a mask. You're protecting the other.
Right.
The other people.
So, we were talking about the spacing of the slot machines. Do you think there's going to be additional spacing of the table games as well?
Again, that's another great question. I know that some of our clients haven't reopened tables. They mm-hmm. open slots first. But those who have, for example, blackjack, there's six spots. They mm-hmm. go with three.
Right.
And what I heard from one operator is you can actually deal more hands with three people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some there, on the numbers side, it can be, I think, somewhat lucrative. But at the end of the day, whether it's craps table or blackjack, like you were saying a minute ago, with people being able to look at smiling or screaming, blackjack.
Yeah. Right.
You can't see that, and people want to be next to each other. There's an energy in gaming.
Yeah, especially at a crap game, you know.
Yeah, especially.
Yeah. So how much is technology playing a role in the redesign of the casino floor after this situation?
Well, we're looking at all things like you're seeing, again, for example, HVAC systems.
Mm-hmm.
The good owners are really taking a look at their systems and getting more air change and more outside air, and as far as UV lighting, et cetera. And the more we go towards hands-free things, mm-hmm. especially like a lot of them are where you did have a door you pulled, going with auto sensors and all that, wherever you can, those type of devices, and then being able to do things from your mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more hands-free is something that'll stick with us, and
Right.
It continues to evolve.
So you think some of these things that, that we're kind of being forced to do are good things that will endure?
I think so. It's those physical elements we were talking about, right, like plexiglass or having tables 8 feet apart.
Right.
It's not as social. It's not a social environment.
FSB is more than just a platform. With more than 100,000 live sporting events traded by FSB teams each year, FSB has the experience to help you launch the most exciting U.S. sports betting operation. Built by experts with years of experience and powering some of the world's most successful brands, the FSB platform has been created to put you in charge of your business. FSB helps by creating online and retail solutions that are supported by an incredibly strong mobile offering with marketing, trading, payments, and all the other tools required to support a world-leading sports book. The FSB team is good, but their technology is great. And now back to our podcast.
So food and beverage obviously has been hit hard. The restaurant industry, even outside the casinos, have been devastated. What will a food court in a casino, for example, look like in the future?
Well, that's a great question, too, because one of the things with the food court is you do go up and pick things up. I think it's all going to be hands-free as far as a customer. You can go up and order something, mm-hmm. but it'll have to be handed to you. You can't grab anything anymore. So we're going to see a lot more of, I would think, permanent sneeze guards, not really. Everything's going to be behind glass, nice glass, not plexiglass. And so I think the food hall concept, mm-hmm. where you go around and you select things and they hand it to you will work. It's another transition element. But I think it's one thing, a deli or food court is something that can pivot pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. And then, with the social distancing, you've got to have capacity limits at the restaurants themselves. Does that change the way you look at the design of a restaurant?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we've looked at is the furniture. Mm-hmm. So where you used to have a long row of booths, the square booths, mm-hmm. we're not going to be doing that anymore. It's all flexible. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully this distance starts changing, you can put things back together.
Right.
You, of course, could have a nice big booth in the corner, which mm-hmm. is set for family, but rows of them, you would have to eliminate every other one.
And right.
That's,
and,
the ROI.
Are you using dividers, maybe floor-to-ceiling dividers, to separate the tables and things like that?
Yes, and even, like I mentioned, the backs, booths that are back-to-back that don't have anything, mm-hmm. a screen on the back will obviously help that. And it can be something very artful and decorative could remain permanently.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I was just reading about the reimagined buffet at Wynn and how they've redesigned that. And it's, you actually order from the table. You don't get up. I thought it was going to be cafeteria style, but it's really not. There's servers. But, of course, they're charging $60 for lunch. I mean, that's not a buffet in a normal casino. So, obviously there's a lot of human resource costs there. But how do you redesign a casino buffet that generally went for $20 or something like that?
Yeah, another challenging space. Mm-hmm. We have a client, Angel of the Winds, which is north of Seattle. Mm-hmm. Just opened an expansion. They opened about 6 months ago. Brand new buffet.
Yeah.
They haven't really been able to open it. So they brought us back on to master plan. What can we do with this space?
Right.
We haven't gotten there yet, but to your point, it's going to be very difficult because the buffet obviously is being able to load your plate up.
Sure, right.
And now we're seeing the table, you might have iPads, so you order and the server will bring it to you.
But, buffet even then was a loss leader. Either you're going to have to increase the price, so you'll hit a level of resistance, I would imagine, from the customers, or you just have less options for them to choose from.
And I think the Wynn or Caesar's five-star example, I'll call it, they can charge like Bacchanal Buffet.
Right.
They've been charging it for a long time. They can get away with it, and the quality of food is, superior, but the smaller operations, the medium, mm-hmm. it is going to be tough. And I think a lot of them, it will just disappear. The buffet that we know will disappear.
Right. How about entertainment? Obviously, it's going to be a while before the showrooms open, the larger venues. But so do you think lounges will be the first ones to open with the social distancing thing built in?
Yes. And we're seeing that because, again, people, whether it's a two- or three-piece band, they love mm-hmm. to see live music. And,
right.
again, you put in the social distancing guidelines, and you can still have that entertainment. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the old Las Vegas Lounge Act of the 1,000 seats that we used to do that everybody said, we don't need those anymore.
Right.
That will be an interim. Mm-hmm. Again, and I love to use the word congregate. People still want to get together.
Sure.
We hear some of these church stories
right.
where the congregate comes from, but congregating socially in a casino is a big thing for a lot of people.
No question. I don't know if they're going to have a dance floor, though, huh?
well, probably dancing with me. They don't want to be close to me anyway, so it would work in my case.
I mean, nightclubs, everybody's up dancing. I don't know. Are they going to open or anytime soon?
I think
is there a redesign option there?
I was thinking about that, and I'll use the word debauchery that mm-hmm. goes on in a nightclub, as we well know, with the alcohol and dancing and all night mm-hmm. long. That's a tough one. I can't see that, because they're also, for example, in Nevada, controlled by the gaming board under the gaming license.
Right.
So I think that may be one of the last things that will open, and I'm not sure. And you know, at that point, let's fast forward, and I'm just throwing this out. 2 years, there's a vaccine that seems to have cured this, then it's back to a more of a normal setting.
Well, I think they seem to realize that pretty early on. I remember Hakkasan laid off their entire staff just a week into this, and I think they realize that it's going to be a long time before they get back together. So that's kind of a shame, because that was a big movement in Vegas for quite some time, although it was kind of declining a little bit.
Right.
I mean, they have the day clubs now, which is kind of on the upswing. So both of those are pretty much a no-no right now.
And I see our client from interesting, again, the Tachi client, we told them we couldn't travel. So they came to us last week.
Oh, really? Okay.
We'll come to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And they stayed at the Cosmo, and they were telling us about the pool experience. They got a cabana,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and they had a good time, and there was the right type of spacing there. So I think the day side of that, I think, will have some legs.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, the cabana style pool. I mean, you're already separated from everybody else. If you're careful, you don't go into the water. You know, where there's a bunch of people. So I think that could probably be done pretty easily. But how about the spas? The spas are, very interpersonal.
Yeah, that's one. Again, I think similar to the nightclub, there's going to have to be such severe guidelines and mandates to operate. I'm not sure. I'm not aware of any of our properties that have opened. Mm-hmm. The pools, some of the pools have, but not the spas.
Not the spas, right. So how about, I was listening to KNPR this morning. They had a discussion about meetings and conventions, and, they were saying it's pretty far off right now. I think CES is scheduled for Las Vegas in January of 2021, and just a few other things before that. I mean, but at the same time, I think you could probably figure out some sort of procedure where social distancing could be maintained and you could figure out how to do an exhibit floor, I would imagine. Have you talked to any of your clients about that?
And again, getting back to some of the mandates where you're only allowed to have 250, 250 people in a space, by some states have those standards, which a lot of these can handle because, as you know, convention spaces are huge, and they have big pre-function spaces.
Sure.
I think part of it is what we've noticed is it becomes a pedestrian traffic patterns.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do efficient patterning for people to move around and avoid the contact? The other thing I think is Las Vegas, I think, has always been the laboratory for gaming and entertainment forever.
Right.
And it will continue to be because the convention authority is building that big expansion. And if anybody's going to figure this out, I've been thinking LVCA will be a leader.
Yeah.
With this, like, pushing CES. I'm not sure if you heard anything about G2E, is it?
They say it's going to go on. So, of course, it'll be radically changed, I imagine, whether they even have a conference program. I'm not sure. But I think it's going to be a little bit virtual, a little bit real life. So it should be interesting to see how they design that, for sure.
Yeah, and so I think it's just most of these properties have the space to work around that, mm-hmm. and it's just the functional layouts and how you move people, and like you say, the type of event, whether it's a panel or an exhibit.
Right.
Well, the exhibit might just get spread out a little bit more. Although we see the conferences we go to, like we have a booth at G2E and we have a booth at NIGA, and you get periods where you get clusters of people, but there is ample space, I believe.
I think if they made the aisles a little wider and that kind of thing, it wouldn't be as densely populated, and I think you could do it safely as well.
Unless you're popular like us.
Right.
You can't.
Well, I remember you were giving out some nice candy there. So.
Exactly.
So just to wrap this up, I mean, let's talk about the future of casino design post-COVID. I mean, you've mentioned you have a bunch of projects on hold. What do you think the casinos are going to do when it looks to, improving their properties, renovations, additions, that kind of thing? Is that going to be on hold for a while, or do you think they really need to concentrate on that to get their customers back?
Well, again, if they have the revenue and resources to look to the future, we have a couple clients like that, which I'm calling, let's call it entrepreneurial. They're trying to get ahead of the curve.
Sure.
When we do get back to a normalcy. I think some of the things like we've talked about, the spacing of certain elements, people are going to get used to it and expect it. You're not going to get these crowded, dense elements in your property anymore. The other things that we've been looking at and talking about, this project is still ongoing, a couple of them, is changing the soft good materials to more hard surface and cleanable. Again, if you go sit on a sofa somewhere, I'm one of those people that kind of look at it and see how clean it is. It's just I think it's going to be in our psyche moving forward. So it's those sorts of things. But I'm trying to put my positive spin on this. I don't see a lot of permanency with what we're dealing with in what we've called in our office somewhat of a crisis mode in the world, not just this industry.
Sure, right.
But how do you react and how do you get through it in a positive way and do things as in the interim to make it work, to get people back to work, to get business moving, to get people to have fun again? I think long-term we'll see most of what we've been doing coming back to normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, go back to Spanish flu. It took a few years, but I'm hoping that's what we're dealing with here and we figure this out medically.
Right.
And also, so things like the Well hotels, we're going to see that move into the gaming environment, not just as hotels, but that's where people spend a lot of time, spend a night. I think there's going to be a stronger movement towards that. And then overall, probably more square footage and spaces. And as important as front of house, back of house.
Right.
The employees.
Sure.
And you hear a lot of properties that say their employee is as important as the customer, and I've always agreed with that. And it's a great way to, a great mindset to have moving forward. Restaurants, I think that's something that will change and change forever. And for other reasons besides the virus, I think it's just healthier. Mm-hmm. When you get to Clark County Health District, for example, I think it's one of the best health districts in the world, and kind of set trending edges on what you can and can't do in food service. And I think that'll be a positive thing.
Right. Well, Brett, I know your company, Cunningham, is going to really respond to this in an effective manner. You're always at the cutting edge of things that are going on. And thanks for coming by. We really appreciate talking to you in person. And hopefully we'll be through this pretty soon.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for the social distancing.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, Roger.
Enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com. To learn more about casino design and how it's changing in the wake of COVID-19, visit ggvmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. And we'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast.